Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
FMLFPL Milan!
It's us.
Here we go. Budget pod, cheap guy pod, final preview type of thing, and then Thursday My Life, and then we're live, brother.
Yep.
Yep. So Thursday pod is our like premium paywall Thursday My Life pod, but this episode, the first one of the season, right before the season starts, we're going to give away for free, and then every other one will be behind the paywall, so yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. That's a Patreon thing.
Yeah, Patreon thing.
And we don't even talk about our like Patreon. We don't do ads.
Because it's fucking so annoying. It's fucking...
We're so bad at this.
Yeah, we're just too... I don't know. Like, because we both get so tilted when the pods we listen to spend the first 5 minutes on ads. And it's just like, I can't do this. But the only other thing I wanted to say before we dive in is I'm going to Twitch stream on Monday, the next three episodes of All or Nothing, All or Nothing Spurs, and then definitely going to Twitch stream again on Friday, just like FPL shit, our teams, day before the deadline and stuff like that. So that's a thing. Should we start like last time and just start with any relevant transfers and stuff like that? And then go to the
let's just do the players and the budget because I think we're gonna probably try and split like 30 minutes 30 minutes, so let's do everything with the questions and shit at the end.
Okay, cool. So starting with keepers, not that many. I mean, Martinez just starting it like alphabetical is.
Yeah, what do we do?
I don't know what's going on.
Like, what do we do about
him? He's maybe the best pick in the fucking world, but we have no idea who's starting.
I mean, we're doing this Saturday, so we have a full week.
But they're on internationals. There's no. I assume there's no more friendlies, right? Like no full squad friendlies.
I'm not that plugged into Arsenal. They had one today, but yeah, I don't think that they're going to have another one. Do you think that Arteta, like anything's going to come? Or do you think we just have to stay away because of the uncertainty?
As of now, stay away. But it's something that we all are closely monitoring, I think, because he's so nailed into my side if he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, if he plays game week one and two or whatever and he's playing, then he's just obvious pick.
He's really good, and Arsenal defense has gotten a lot better. Yeah, it's just great.
Yeah. Okay, so that's one for probably early wild cards will be on if he's in there, but otherwise, I guess just when you wild card, he's going to probably be your keeper, even if he's like 4-7.
Right, yep, I think so.
Okay, and I mean, again, right, we're just talking about Arsenal defenses being looking better under Arteta, and they, you know, 4-5 route in, that's nailed. Keeper's pretty no-brainer.
Yeah, and they, I mean, it's going to be weird integrating all the new players. I think for every team, it's going to be different amounts of time until they're comfortable and different amount of time until the 11s are nailed and whatnot, but they got better center backs on paper. These guys are supposed to be good and supposed to be better. So eventually,
better than Mustafi?
Yeah, believe it or not. Mm. So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. So the other two main 4-5s are right, Ryan and McCarthy.
Yeah. Seems like those are the two highest owned 4-5s? Probably. Yeah, they are.
Ryan's at 21%.
Yeah, number one and number two. Ryan at 21.4, yeah. McCarthy at 19.1.
What do you see there?
I'm on McCarthy. I just think the team is significantly better. The opening fixtures, to me, are a little bit better. Button is no longer on Brighton, so it's no longer, like, the reason to get Ryan is because they have a 4-0 backup. Although, apparently, their backup's going to be this guy, Walton, who's back from loan. Maybe he'll be 4-0, maybe not. We'll see.
I think he would if they put the bat right that the backup back...
All I know is Carl Darlow is 5.0, so...
Okay,
we know Walton could be 6'5". I have no idea. Okay. Just premium. But yeah, I don't know. I just like McCarthy. I like the fixtures a lot. I mean, the first four, Palace, Spurs, Burnley, West Brom, I don't think any of those are bad. Spurs being the worst is not terrible.
But are we that short-sighted on fixtures for keeper?
No, but maybe the only time we are is the beginning of the season when we know a wild card's coming. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I was personally thinking.
That's fair.
Yeah. But you've been on Ryan this whole time, right?
Yeah, I've been on Ryan. It's partly because I like him probably kind of the most, and also because I haven't really thought that much about it until like this morning.
I also haven't. Yeah.
Yeah. But the main thing I like about Ryan a little bit more is that it looks like he's going to be doing the three at the back thing, and White's better than, I mean, from everything I've read and seen, White's better than, you know, Webster and Dwonk, and, you know, put him in there as well, and playing with three at the back. A little nervous if they're going to be pushing the line high with the three at the back, and you know, maybe they're going to get some counter ops. But Ryan's a pretty good shot stopper. But
yeah,
you know, if they go to three at the back, and, you know, they don't score much anyway, I feel like they set up a little bit better for, like, the goalkeeper than with Southampton. You know, they're doing the pressing thing, and they attack so much. Like, they're a better team, but I don't know if they're better for the goalkeeper. A guy like KWP, we'll get to that, right? Because, you know, he had that 3-assist game a couple years ago, and he's, like, playing really far, whatever. But you get that output as well. So, you know, I don't know. I like McCarthy a lot, too, because he does also – he made a lot of saves last season when he came in. He's good. They're both good, I think. They're both good.
Yeah.
You really just splitting hairs.
I think – your point is good, though, because if I was to make the argument for Ryan over McCarthy, I think I would start there, is that Southampton really haven't improved in terms of personnel, and all they did was lose Højbjerg, who is, like, their best central midfielder. And then you look at Brighton, and they get White in, they ship out Duffy, they get Veltman also, a little more depth, they have Lamptey for the full season, and it's like... okay, they might actually get better. Like, Basuma might play more minutes. Yeah. You know, there's reasons they might be better. So
Moy's gone. I mean, he wasn't the best defensive player.
Yeah, he's like a...
His motor was just running out at 60 every game. Yeah, so I don't know. I like Ryan there, but I also am still thinking about Johnstone. Like, I haven't thrown that out because it's the most, like, thing I would never do. Like, is it time for me to start doing something I would never do? Because... you know, Etheridge, Losel, you know, last year, right, Sheffield United came up, like, Wolves up. Like, there's a team, and everyone's talking about Leeds being the team, but for goalkeeper, it's, to me, a little bit of a different story, right? I don't feel like Leeds are going to kind of be playing in that Southampton way of, like, pressing and doing that thing, which, fine, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, like, if they'll be successful or not, we'll find out, but... West Brom and Fulham, like Rodak even too, right? Like Fulham and West Brom fucking suck ass.
Yeah.
And they're going to be hoping to scrape 1-0s every game. And they can't play. They can't play. They're just going to have to just put fire. Like they're going to be firemen every game.
I mean, these guys will have those 13-point crazy weeks a couple times this
season. 10 saves and a cleaner. Yeah. But the thing with Johnstone, I don't think that when you have that many pen saves... like he's like 45% or something. That's not a fluke. You know, that's not lucky.
Yeah,
that's
a skill. Could be a real skill.
And if you have someone like that who makes, say he makes 3 pen saves, I mean, that's like 30 points. That's like 20 or 30 points. But like even if he makes 2, they're going to probably give up pens because they suck. They still have like a Ghazi and shit, right?
Yeah.
They're going to give up some pens. So, you know, if he stops 1 or 2, I mean, you're already... I mean, that's 8 points every pen save. So, I like John Stone and Rodak. Like, I think that those teams that are just going to be really shitty, they're going to be parked. They're going to be hoping for a 1-0 or 0-0. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to let up shot. They're going to make saves. I don't hate either of those picks, yeah. Rodak yeah. or, you know, Hector's good over at Fulham. And yeah, they were, and
I don't
know.
It's hard it's for me to hate any of the 4-5s, really, because I just yeah. think you're doing the right thing. You're going 4-5. Yeah. There's not going to be a lot to split them up, but... The other worth mentioning, I think, is Heaton, who, as far as we know, is just out through, like, maybe October.
And well, Romero. I think they got Romero today.
Did they yesterday. Actually confirm it?
I think it sounded pretty likely.
Well, that'll fuck everything up, because I was going to say they might have 4-0 for, like, 2 months.
Yeah. No, that's something. If that is the case, you know, yeah. you could definitely put the goose egg up for one game
yeah,
week
one
and then
week.
Just...
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know if it's Steer or Nyland, which one's going to play really right now as the time we're recording this, but you could definitely do that. If they don't get anyone over the line by Saturday,
yeah.
you could roll the dice there. Yeah. You know, you could definitely do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it on keeper, I think.
Yeah, I think that's good.
So going team by team on defenders, I mean, it starts in the same spot with Arsenal. They have Holding at 4-5. They have Saliba at 4-5.
Saliba's the, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like Holding might go. There's a lot of rumors him to, like, Fulham and Newcastle.
Yeah. I'm just nervous with Saliba because it seems like the only way he's going to play is if they're playing three at the back. And,
right.
You know, we just don't know. We don't know yet what yeah. he prefers.
Too much unknown.
Williams, like, everything's just too new. So
same
starting with
Gabriel,
with him seems,
the new guy. I mean, like...
I mean, Gabriel definitely is going to play over Saliba at this point.
Yeah. Well, but
David Luiz doesn't look like he's going to drop him for a 10-year-old, you know,
right
now.
Right.
That's all I'm thinking about
with
him.
So it's just an avoid, I think, for now. I had Saliba in a ton of tinkers at first because it was like, okay, this is the guy. And then, like, doesn't start Community Shield, and then they buy Gabriel, and we still don't know what system they're going to play. It's a little bit, like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's so many... I think this pod's going to go a bit faster than the others because there's just so many bad teams and bad picks that we're basically going to skip. And the reason I bring that up is because next alphabetically is Aston Villa. And
yeah. Well, you know, Villa was an interesting one because we were talking about them a lot in the restart. They were having elite defensive numbers. And,
yes.
You know, Target, you know, was attacking and House had really good XG numbers and shit. Yeah. But... We were talking about Villa more, and it's still that thing where I just don't believe that when they are 0 points on the board, tied for first with every other team, that they're going to be able to focus and keep cleans for 90 minutes when their team is bad.
Right,
they
like they did in restart when they were complete backs against the wall fighting relegation. So
yeah, and you know, I mean, they have a couple of good fixtures starting off after the blank. They have home Sheffield United and then at Fulham, and then they have a couple tough ones. At Leicester's a great fixture, but Liverpool's not as good. I mean,
for a Villa defender.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna like yell at anyone who has one in part of a rotation, but I'm just kind of sour on them compared to some of the other 4-5s.
Yeah, and like, I mean, we'll get to Taylor probably soon, but like, is it worth getting a Villa defender?
Neil Taylor?
Yeah, Neil Naylor.
We're on Neil Taylor. Tell me about him.
No, I mean, it's just like not worth it also to keep one of these guys for a blank. To me, none of these guys are like a 4-5
that's
I want to build
too,
around and hold. It's like,
Freddie
I'd much
Gilbert
rather have
from
a blank.
Iowa City, Iowa?
Yeah, exactly. Well, now it's Matty Cash. Fred's just
Where's
relegated.
Matty Cash from? Alabama?
From
Birmingham?
Yeah. He sounds like he's in like Mortal Kombat, Matty Cash. But
Johnny Kane and Matty Cash.
Yeah, exactly. He's 5-0.
Cage, not Kane.
Yeah. But, yeah, yep. So Villa basically skip Brighton, and then, you know, so we talked about Ryan, and I really
Brighton's
like Lamptey. Yeah, I love Lamptey.
So I'm very nervous about Lamptey because...
What are you nervous about?
He played March there.
Yeah. Well, so Lamptey's, you know, he's at, like, the youth nations.
No, he was on the bench last game.
Oh, really?
Solly March played left wing back, and he played Veltman at right wing back.
Oh, yeah.
And Lamptey subbed on. Like, he's still 10 years old.
Yes. He's very young and very small.
If I'm getting a Brighton defender, I'm getting a center back.
I thought they played. They might have.
I'm
played.
Like, I'm taking Webster, or I'm taking White, or I'm taking Byrne, or I'm just, I'm not.
You see, they played again today, and
wait, Byrne, Webster, White. They can't all play. Someone's not.
Well, it depends if it's through at the back or not. Byrne is a left back, even though he's 10 feet tall. And then it's probably White, Webster, and Dunk.
Right. Yeah. They have a lot of players, dude. It's kind of a little scary.
It's kind of sketchy. But I still think Lamptey's going to be the right back, even more so if it's a wing back position. Like, they played again today, and he wasn't in the squad because of the youth shit. So, I don't know. I'm
nervous about it.
Yeah, I mean, he has very promising numbers and very promising eye test. He's super fast and good on the ball and aggressive, and I really like Potter, him. But
Potter, though.
Yeah, Potter is a factor.
I haven't tankered Lamptey in my team. Like,
me neither,
all.
To be fair. Yeah. Me neither. Okay. I just, when going through these teams, he stood out to me, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's shown eye test-wise, just he's a player.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just, with Potter especially, and, you know, his craziness, there's a lot. There's a lot of risk there, I think.
There is. Definitely.
And this is too, right? It's as we go through these 4-5s, you don't want risk in your 4-5 defender. You don't want to be spending transfer on your 4-5 defender.
Yeah, exactly. Ever.
So it's tough. Yeah. It's a tough one there.
Yeah. And to be fair, also, some people asked about it in Discord, but I haven't looked myself at all the specific rotations that might work out. But there's a lot of people on, like, Reddit, Twitter, everyone who have it worked out, or just do it yourself on the season ticker. But I don't think we're specifically going to talk about specific rotations, right?
There aren't really any banker 4-5-4-5 rotations. A lot of them are including, you know, like Sheffield United as part of a rotation.
I see.
Teams that have 5 million players. So as for 2 4-5s for one spot, like, you know, I mean, doing 2 for 3 is just too nuts.
Right.
That's almost not worth it, but... You also, I mean, we'll get to, like, Vinagre and shit, but there are also 4-5 defenders who you don't rotate.
So. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, yeah, Burnley. I mean, I mentioned Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor's been pretty certain to be in my team, game week one, I think.
It seems like he's definitely first choice over Peters, but it's definitely a little sketch to me. I don't know. They, like, they're doing, like, split team friendlies, and Peters starts one, and Taylor starts the other one, and I'm just like,
I think it's Taylor's spot. I'm one. Who the fuck is playing right back for them is my question.
Bardsley/Lowton. They're gonna fight too, right? That's like another split. Maybe
he doesn't rotate the defense. Like, he plays the
play. But last year he did. Well, there was injuries.
But he gave them long runs, and then someone got hurt. Right? Like, right, he wasn't like, I think it's back every other game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Taylor, I still like as, I don't think Peters is going to be playing over him. But why have just one? You know, maybe this is two. It's maybe fair. You go two.
It's fair.
I don't know if we're going to have good enough information for game week one about who's going to be in that right back. I mean, we laugh and make fun of Bardsley all the time on this podcast, but
he can't, I mean, unnail himself. Yeah.
If he's playing, you look at their fixtures after Leicester. You could start 2 Burnley defenders for every game until game week 10, except for, like, Chelsea. I don't think home Spurs is that bad.
No, that's a startable. Yeah, yeah. Definitely startable.
So yeah, Burnley is just 4 or 5 routes in, or we've this is every year, right? It's that's a good pick. They don't keep cleans against the good teams, but they're a good rotational piece. And Taylor seems great. And
it's whoever crazy. Plays right back the seems great as well. In the restart, Bardsley just played 90 every single match.
Yeah, well, he was playing Peters in midfield, so he was doing some shit.
Yeah,
so
I'm not really sure who's first choice, and
Lowton was good a couple of years ago, and then it seems I don't know what happened.
A little sketched out by Taylor Peters' situation. I don't feel it's like 100%. Even though I think Taylor's way better.
Yeah, I feel fine with Taylor, dude, because Peters is also really old, and he's bad. He's fucking bad at defending.
Yeah.
Taylor's good.
Yeah.
I like Taylor. Every time I watch them, which seems to be all the time, I feel like I always watch
Burnley.
He's
fit. He has been playing in preseason games.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
All right, Palace.
Palace, I mean...
A lot of flags.
God, I mean, so I think Ward is nailed for a bit. If speaking about rotation type of guys, They have rotatable fixtures. They have Southampton, Manchester United, Everton, Chelsea, Brighton, Fulham, Wolves, Leeds.
I think you don't want any of those four fixtures, though. Those are very bad fixtures.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. I look at home Southampton and my brain is like, yeah, cool. But it's actually pretty good.
It's not
pretty
good.
Bad, I mean. And then home Everton has just been made a lot worse, too. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But in general, though, we're not going to revisit this topic that much. But I hear you, though, about the rotation.
Yeah, Ferguson's young. Like, got him on a free. He has some sort of knee injury. There's no return date. For now, Ward is nailed. But we both are probably on Mitchell, right?
I've been playing with no 4-0 defender, but if I do have one, it'll probably be him. I saw PVA some pictures on the pitch today, so that made me a little nervous.
Right. So Mitchell, we think likely for game week one, but maybe not beyond that.
And Riedewald also plays left back, but he's been playing in midfield because we're short there. So, I mean, Mitchell's also a little child. So, obviously, this is a short term pick. PVA's going to walk right back into the team the minute he can play 90.
Right. That was an Eric B question, actually, though. He said, Palace really struggled at the end of last season, still have a lot of injuries at the back. What do you expect from them first few game weeks of the season? Are they still a defense you're not excited having your attackers face? And we kind of talked about that, I think, on last episode of the Ings, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just Kouyaté and Dan is not good center back partnership.
But it's such a FIFA partnership, like just putting some big guy out of position. Like, yeah, he'll go do a job, but like in real life, it's bad.
It's really bad, you know. So, yeah, it seems bad. You know, seems if we're playing a 10-year-old at left back, Joel Ward, who can't get over the halfway line, a midfielder at center back, and someone who is second. Fifth choice behind Martin Kelly.
Yeah,
it's not good. It's just it is bad. Even though we had nothing to play for after the restart, it's fucking bad now.
Really bad. Yeah,
we could get Dwan.
Yeah, you don't want a part of this. You really don't want a part of this.
And which is why Mitchell, I'm seeing him in too many teams. Honestly, it's just too many teams. He's in too many teams.
I swear the fixture ticker is fucking us, though, right? Because home Southampton, it's like, nice, I'll slot in my 4-0 for home Southampton. But, like, Southampton should win 3-0.
They should not have that column with the red and green things.
Well, they can do whatever the fuck they want. Fixture difficulty rating. They just make this shit up. Everton was a 4 last year. Like, I remember there's weird shit every year. It's just like...
Okay. But basically with Mitchell, the thing that I'm seeing is teams have, like, really thin defenses. And after Trent, it's like Trent, maybe a 5-0, then, like, 4-5, 4-5, 4-0 or something.
Yeah.
And you're going to be spending a transfer in defense soon if you're 100%. Going with that, I think. You
100%.
Know? So that's where, you know, if you find the extra 0.5 to just jam another 4 or 5, I think that'll probably be decent. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but, you know, we have international break right now and the game week one's in a week, you know. Game week one team sheets could be garbage. You've got 4-0s and shit in your team, it's... Mitchell could also just not play. Like, all of a sudden, Milivojevic is back from fucking... Serbia or wherever and fucking, you know, and Riedewald's playing left back because he's an actual adult, you know.
There's so many things that could go. Schlupp could play left back. Like, there's just things.
There are things.
So, right. And Mitchell, sketchy. Everton have the 1-4-5, Jonjo Kenny. I think it's just worth mentioning because we both agree Seamus is on, like, a steep decline at right back. they didn't bring back Sidibe. It just... might be Kenny's spot very soon. And we both like Everton and expect them to be good. So that might be good.
You go to Schalke, you learn how to play.
Exactly. I mean...
I like that shout. I'm not seeing him talked enough about. Because Coleman...
Yeah.
The name is... Oh, yeah, Coleman, he's great. He's not good. He's not good anymore. He's just not good. He can't play.
He's old, playing the most physically demanding position in football. You know.
Yeah. Kenny could be a thing.
Yeah, I think I really like him as, like, if I was gonna pick some sort of 4-5 who might be nailed in everyone's team and be, like, incredible value, like, he's up there
in
for
a month.
Me. Yeah, he's up there for me.
Okay. Fulham, I don't want to talk about Fulham.
Fulham are really bad. The one funny thing I noticed in my research is Hector, Michael Hector. Fulham fans call him Virgil van Mike. It's good shit. It's fucking good shit. Leicester are kind of... So
take it away. I haven't looked at them for 1 second.
Me neither until today when I was looking at transfers, because they got Castagne from Atalanta, who can play on both sides.
Yeah.
Nick said, what's the issue with Justin as a budget defender? Leicester fixtures look fine. Are we concerned that their defense is shit?
Yep.
I'm not that concerned their defense is shit with most of the guys back healthy. And, you know, but...
So they don't have.
Well, they replaced Chilwell. And Pereira's still out, but Ndidi's fit. The center backs, I think, are fit, right?
Isn't Soyboy still suspended?
He's not flagged, so...
Okay, so I guess he lived them out last
year. Yeah, Evans is suspended, so it'll be like one game or something, but... Okay. I don't know. Justin or Thomas, whichever one starts, could be a guy.
Whatever. They fucking suck.
They're so hard to evaluate for me because they were so bad at 10 this
Justin
season.
And Thomas individually are not Premier League players.
Horrific.
Either of them. So if you get one, that sucks because you have a shitty ass player and they're the weakest link in the team.
Yeah. But there's still a team that I expect to keep double digit cleans.
Yeah. I also,
like, when we compare like Leicester to like say Burnley, like, I think Leicester will keep more cleans. I don't think that's, like, a controversial statement. The difference is most of Leicester's players are way more expensive, so we go for Burnley guys. But one of these guys is probably going to play the majority of the minutes. Pereira is still just, like, very injured. So it might be good. Might be good.
Evans is out for the first three games. That's an actual big deal.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
What did he... Okay. Did he get a violent conduct? Yeah, he got a violent... Was it violent conduct?
Yeah, he's scum. It's Manchester United scum.
That's awesome. I fucking love that.
I don't know, dude, Leicester. I'm seeing Justin in teams.
What, I'm just saying that, like...
I don't see it.
Yeah, Evans being out for a month is really bad for them.
And the first two fixtures are, quote, good, but they're, you know, I don't know, fucking Leicester. Leicester suck.
Yeah. I don't know. They're probably one I reevaluate for maybe game week 4. Home West Ham, home Villa. Evans back. We know who's starting. That's good.
Let's try and quicken this.
Oh, my God. Okay, are you looking at any leads, guys? They have really bad
pictures. Dallas and Ayling are the guys. You know, they progress balls up the flanks, and they're good numbers in the championship and shit. The problem is the fixtures, right? They have home Fulham game week 2, and then you don't want to start until game week, and then Wolves 5, I guess you could start that, but bad fixtures. So that's a tough one.
So I think it's a stay away. You just wait and see, maybe get one later.
Yeah, I'm seeing one of them in teams, I think, because people are really short-term, like, okay, game week 2 is such a good start, so that'll be okay, which is fine. You know, if you're with that really early wild card, and if that's something that you want to do, okay, but... I'm sure that Dallas and Ayling or whomever in their defense, after we see, or even Koch, who just came over from Germany, if we see them playing well, you know, and they could be mispriced at 4 or 5. Like, if they are going to be the Sheffield United of this year, whatever, the Wolves of the season, then those will be good picks. So keep
The thing that's really deceptive with Dallas is he played half the season in central midfield, and that's where he got, like, all of his goals. So people are, like, looking at his stats all season, like, oh, my God, this guy's, like, a fucking attacking monster. It's like, no, not really at left back. Like, didn't do that much, so.
Yeah, that's I mean, he could play again out of position, possibly, in midfield, so we'll see.
It's definitely one that I'm monitoring, again, for all the reasons you said. They're supposed to be really good. They're supposed to be one of the best championship teams in the last decade. But their fixtures are so bad, I'm very comfortable just missing them. You know, at worst, what are we talking about? I'm missing one clean if they clean Fulham? Like, sure. Yeah, and then I'll jump on them.
Someone also on Discord was talking about Alioski, that he's like, wears the 10 shirt and he's a cam. I don't know anything about him but if that's the case, Alioski. He was on the bench a lot last year, but if he's an actual like attack, he could be Lundstrom 2.0, I don't know, if he gets on the team somehow.
I like his first name a lot.
I think he has the actual...
Ezgjan?
Yeah, I think he wears the like the number 10.
I like that.
So I don't know why.
He got 5 goals, 3 assists last season.
Yeah. So just
I don't really know much about him. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. Me neither. That's all I know. Newcastle.
Yeah, United's all backups. Newcastle have some guys. Yeah, let's move a little faster. We're almost done, actually. Southampton.
Yeah, let's go to KWP is the one, right?
So I love KWP. Similar sort of to Lamptey to me, except he's 100% nailed. Lamptey maybe isn't. But yeah. I was looking at stats to try and match what I see with my eyes. Because, like, the thing we both use XG all the time, but XA is a lot sketchier because
I don't believe in XA.
Yeah, there's so many factors that need to happen for XA to even register versus XG is just a shot. So it's like I look for different things than just XA. And one of the things with KWP is ruling out non-starters. He passes into the box third most on the team behind Stu and Redmond. So he is just putting the balls in the box. He's just all the time. That's his job. Yeah,
you want that player.
Yeah, Ings and Che don't ever pass. They just shoot. They're just box strikers. And so you like a very aggressive, very high up fullback who's constantly trying to get it to his two strikers.
Yep.
And he's good. He passes the eye test. Like, I don't know.
He's bad at defending.
Yeah, I used to always make fun of him for how bad he was at defending, but it does seem to me that Ralph is like getting the best out of him. Like
he's barely asked to defend.
Yeah, like he's not asked to defend because he's really bad at that. Instead, he's asked to press, which he's doing fine. Like he's just literally sprinting at someone and tackling or fouling them, and that's fine. You know, like that's better than just letting people dribble by you, which is what he did for Spurs. So I really like him.
All right, KWP.
I have him in a current tinker. So
there you go.
There you go.
West Brom will skip. West Ham will skip. And then Vinagre. I mean, he's
my,
the guy.
My
right?
one West Ham shout is just Fredericks because I see people on Twitter and stuff talking about Johnston maybe 4-0 starting. It's whatever. Like Fredericks is actually fucking good and definitely going to be starting, and he was like one of their best players in the restart. So I don't know what that is. I have an eye on Fredericks when their fixtures turn, but. Yeah, anyway, Vinagre.
Yeah. I mean, as of right now, it's just...
The most nailed?
Yeah, you just put him in. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
If they buy, you know, then that's a transfer that you'll have to make. But if not, then you got, you know, the best defender value pick in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have... They have to buy in both positions. As of now, we don't know. Yeah. Unless Adama's playing right wing back, they have no starting fullbacks except Vinagre. So things are looking very up for him just being nailed on and great. So, yeah. I think it's like actually, if we were going to talk about like must have type of guys, like I think it's actually ridiculous to not own him. Yeah. 4-5 nailed Wolves defender is insane.
I agree.
All right,
let's go to mid. Like a half hour on goalkeepers and defenders is every time. It's ridiculous.
No, I think we're a little ahead of the past pods, to be honest.
Okay.
A little.
But we have other things that we were going to talk about.
And there's so many midfielders, most of them are useless.
Are we doing, 6-5 or 6?
It's 6 and under.
6, okay.
So, again, alphabetically, I just see Saka right there, Arsenal. Saka 5-5, really like him. Little uncertain on minutes, but he's really good.
It's the same thing after the restart where I remember people were putting him in their team. I think they had a double game week. And I was like I was very anti the pick because of the minutes.
Yeah.
And he just kept playing. And every game, he's arguably like among their 2 or 3 best players every game. And
he's like their best creator, I would say, every game.
And he's just, he's obviously better than other options they have. So even though he's 18, you know, he's a kid, whatever, he's just, I think he's in a play. You know, I'm not too worried about the minutes. I think he's in a play. I think he's just a good pick.
Yeah.
I think he's really underpriced. I mean, I thought he was going to be like 6-5.
Yeah, I think so. I thought so too.
And it's weird also
because they priced him before the Willian move. And like, which maybe it's like, okay, if they made that move earlier, it's like, okay, maybe he's down 0.5 or 1 because you know, Towers' pecking order puts Willian ahead and they're paying him a lot of money. But yeah, he came out when the game came out, he was like almost nailed because he's ahead of Pepe. So it's, I don't know. It's kind of, yeah, it's, he's underpriced. I agree.
Yeah. 5-5. Yeah. It just seems like a really, really good price for him. And
yeah,
the fixtures are tougher after the first two, but he's good. Yeah. I like the teams with him. I like the way they look.
Yeah.
It's just a good price point, and he's the kind of player, you know, we talk about who's someone that could get to, like, make a big step up to the next level. I mean, you just watch them play, and he's class. He's just so really good.
He's so good.
Like him a lot.
Yeah, I like him a lot, too. Aston Villa, we can skip. Brighton, I know you like Trossard.
Yeah, well, you know, Muzza just left, and he played him up top. In that 3-5-2 last game, you know, he could be an out of position player for us. And we don't know what Potter's going to do, you know, Saturday to Sunday to Monday to Saturday. You know, he could do any fucking thing. He could put Dan Burn at striker. I wouldn't be surprised. But I think Trossard, if you see him the first few games playing at striker, pretty easy pick, honestly. Yeah.
It could be a good pick. Finishing, my fear is Potter by far is my biggest fear.
Definitely.
It's not the player.
Absolutely. No,
it seems like he likes his attackers to all get around 2,000 minutes and none get 3,000 minutes.
Yeah, which is an issue.
Yeah, you hate to see that.
But that's a different... And, you know, first year, he came over from fucking Belgium. You know, he's like... That's a trial by fire, and that's a tough transition for any player. So, you know, this could be... Like, he's... Like a post-hype sleeper, big time for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where last year people were talking about him, he was a little flashy, had a couple really good games, a couple nice goals, but no one's really talking about him this year, and he's definitely flying very, very low under the radar for not good reason, in my opinion.
Yeah, he came in with a middle part, so you could see how far behind he was.
It was 1998.
Chelsea skip, Palace skip, Everton skip. Fulham skip. Yeah,
we talked about Eze, I guess.
Yeah, Leeds has like Hernandez. I mean, I'm super uninterested.
Very, very uninterested.
It's similar to the defense. They have other guys that might pop up, Harrison and stuff, but like with their fixtures being this bad, it's just wait and see.
Yeah.
Leicester, no. Liverpool have Keita, who I think people have talked about a bit. I don't know. I still think it's a big wait and see and no idea what it's going to be in terms of like minutes distribution. No idea what if Thiago is going to happen.
What are you waiting to see? Because
if he starts a few.
But then he'll miss one and then he'll start a couple and he'll miss one, right? That's going to happen.
Maybe, but he could also start one of the first three and then it's just a full stay away.
That's possible as well.
I don't know. He's obviously the best attacking mid in the squad, no question. He gets in the box. Yeah. He passes into the box constantly. He could be really good for 5-5, but it's so risky to me. It's like, I have no idea. No idea.
Yeah, there are other safer 5-5s, I guess, but I really don't mind that punt at all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have our wild cards and stuff, so.
Yeah.
City and United, no. Newcastle of St. Max, who I guess some people have, and Almiron too. Like, where are you at on St. Max? I think, like, because a lot of people like him, but.
They are in shambles right now, the team.
Yeah.
I'm just really worried about the team. They look like they're going to be whipping boys, honestly. They don't have a striker. They're losing 4-1 to League One teams, and you know it's okay.
Gale out hurts them so much. Carroll is so bad. Joe Linton can play striker.
Yeah, it's like, I'm worried about the team. I still think St. Max, like, he seemed like he turned a corner post restart last year, where he was converting his, you know, dribbles and take ons into actual
chances
created and doing like end finished product things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I got colder on him as I thought more about Newcastle and watching these results come in and, you know, no striker things.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's like, I know you hate Almiron. I think he also stepped his game up and, you know, at the end of the season, and he actually scored some goals instead of just getting big chances and not scoring. But The thing is, I just don't expect the team to score goals. Like, if you do, and you think the team's going to score goals, they're okay punts because, you know, they could be a part of it. They don't have super high involvement, but they're okay punts. But they're definitely punts. Nothing more than that, because they're on one of the worst teams in the league, and they don't have a striker. So, I don't know. I've seen people arguing for them a lot because they start off with West Ham and Brighton. It's like, I don't know.
It could get, to me, they're
significantly worse than those teams. Yeah. So I don't like it.
Okay.
Sheffield United has like Lundy, but
no,
he's not even nailed. Southampton have some guys.
Yeah, Stu and I'm seeing JWP in a lot of teams. It's very baffling to me.
I hate the JW pick. JW. So cool. I just said JW pick. Wow, good job by me. JWP.
Shortcut it.
He's never been an FPL option. He's so much better IRL. He's not involved in many goals or FPL points. I really, really don't understand or like that pick at all.
Yeah. It baffles me.
Yeah, it's very confusing to me as well. But Stu, on the other hand, I think is probably the safest 5-5 in the game. In terms of, like, you can start your season with this guy and it's probably not going to be a disaster type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's the very, like, prototypical one return every three games kind of a player to me. And it's just going to be if he holds up with his fitness. He's like that peripheral more. He's like a Southampton coverage pick. Right? Like, he's the guy that's cheaper, that's going to be like the third or fourth most involved, but you're paying, you know, you're getting what you pay for.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, Ings and, you know, if Adams or whoever's playing next to him are going to, and Redmond even, right?
Yeah.
But at 5-5, he's a good player. He's a good player. He's just not that exciting, I think.
I do think he has a little bit of upside, though, because, like,
I don't know.
He hasn't played that much just with fitness and stuff. And Southampton haven't been good for long. They've been good for half a season since he's been there. So,
I don't know, don't get me wrong.
Shoots a lot and stuff. I feel like
there are a lot of like low, like outside the box stuff, though. Yeah, you know, I mean, he does have that like knack for making a nice run once in a while in the game when it offers. But his role is kind of to like facilitate and keep things going. And yes, he's a good player. So he's going to get some returns, but he's not going to be getting volume I think you need from someone like that. Like, to me, Saka to me is clear echelon way above the other 5-5 picks to me, because he's an actual elite player and he could do something like 6 goals, 13 assists this year, and I'd be like, he's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I think he could do that. But I think Stu's minutes are much more secure. And if you just look at, like, because he's never played more than 1,700 minutes for Southampton, which is what he did last season. It's like, there's a world where he can... Yeah, he is. Yeah. But, you know, in his games, like, his goals per 90 and stuff is good. Like, he projects out as a 10-goal, 6-assist kind of guy or something like that.
Yeah, he could do, like, an 8-8 or a 9. He could be 1-2. It's possible. Yeah,
so... I don't know. I still think he's really good.
Safe. I agree with the safety and the good fixtures and shit.
And the team is really good. Like, we forget that, like, they were way better than a team like Arsenal since restart for attacking.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
Not even close.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think about Gineppo? Do you think he's going to come into things this year?
I had him written down, too, because, I don't know, Redmond is still just really bad.
He's not, though.
No, the thing is, like, when you watch them,
he's very hard to replace, I think.
I
don't think Gineppo, after playing 100 minutes and getting a yellow card every game he played, you remember that?
Yeah,
it was amazing. You know, I don't think he's ready to do that, maybe in the second half. But
yeah, he's probably not, but I think he's just one to monitor because he has the skills and stuff that we've heard about but haven't really seen that much. Like, I remember he scored, like, a couple worldy, really sick goals and stuff.
Yeah,
but
he's very, like, he could be a player.
Yeah.
Do they have Buffal back? Is that real? Is he staying?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I fucking love him.
Yeah, Buffal is always a sexy guy.
On the Walsh 11 bench.
They just, like, 12. Don't buy anyone anymore. It's really weird.
Well, they have the smallest bone. They don't need anyone else.
Yeah. They bought a. They did buy a defender, Salisu or whatever.
Yeah, he's supposed to be good. He's a kid, though.
Oh, really? So maybe not.
Well, they were talking about him pushing Bednarek for I think he's left center back. I think he's lefty.
Okay, so...
But I think he's pretty young, so I don't know if he's... He's not going to start.
So KWP, then Stevens and Bertrand would be the nailed ones, and then maybe Bednarek or Salisu. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stu, I'm interested. Spurs, no. West Brom have Pereira and Diangana.
Yeah, that was surprising that happened.
Yeah. Even Mark Noble tweeted, like, he was, like, really upset about it.
Whatever. He's probably, like, in charge of the carpool with him or something. Pereira, I don't know.
Well, like, let me simplify it for you. They have really, really bad fixtures, so I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah, fine. Good player.
Yeah, I mean, Diangana put up really good numbers last season, too.
Yeah, he's 5'5", is that right?
Sort of interested, but...
Is he 5'5"?
Yeah, 5'5".
I can't believe they haven't bought a striker. What are they at? What are they doing? They're in trouble. Their team's so bad.
Hal and Chaz is just, like, not ideal for Premier League.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Combine them 3,000 minutes. It's like, good luck, bro.
Johnstone's just going to make 50 saves a game, and they're going to be incredible.
Hopefully they buy Brewster, or loan Brewster, rather. West Ham also, I mean, we've talked a lot about Bowen and Antonio and stuff, but their fixtures are just at the worst possible.
What about Supi? Supi check.
So Supi check, COVID check. I mean, we need to... yeah, we need to check on his temperature because he might have COVID. So I don't know. There's no credible news source giving us anything, but apparently he has to quarantine, isolate, nightmare. So he might not even be ready for game week one, so we might have to rip him out of the teams. But that's just something to monitor there.
Yeah. Whatever, Suchek.
Yeah, Suchek. I like him, but yeah. And then last is Wolves, who...
Potencia. The last and the littlest.
I know. Like, we talked about Jota last week, and then there's Potence and Neto also. We have no idea who's going to play right wing back. It could be Adama, which means that in the front two or front three, there's potentially like a 6-5 or a 5-5.
He can't play all these left... Do you think he would play Potence or Neto?
I have no idea what he's going to do. Yeah, I think it's possible. Why not?
Potence is good.
He's really, really good.
He's really good, dude.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Neto's pretty good, too. I don't know if they're treating him as Jimenez's backup or if he's an option, but...
They bought that little child today.
Yeah, they bought an actual just-turned-18, very, very small child for their club record fee, whatever, but...
You know what we need?
I'm super interested in this.
Jim gets hurt.
Oh my god!
Liars here.
Yeah, I know.
You have like 6-5-5
or
Adama
does his shoulder, or Jota's bad again. Like, there's potentially a really good 6-5 or a really good 5-5 starting every week for Wolves.
So Sheffield United, City, first two. We just watch and see.
I think because
then they go West Ham, Fulham, Leeds, Newcastle, Palace. Hello.
Yeah, we want. As many attackers as possible for those, I guess. Vinegar, Jim, and Potence or some shit.
We need to also see if they're going to... Yeah, because they were doing the weird thing after the restart last year, playing the most defensively. So, okay, Potence...
And they have no Europa, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
So their 11 should be their 11. Yeah, not much.
And they don't have to play two games a week anymore. They only have to do one, so they could maybe attack.
Yeah, so I'm very interested there.
Okay, Wolves... Wolves players in general just seem mispriced.
Yeah, I mean, they're like
all of them. I don't know.
What's their floor?
Except for Patricio.
What's a nightmare worst season ever for them? Eighth? Ninth?
Tenth? No, like 10th, I think.
Yeah, like, so even saying their absolute worst case is 10th and their best case is maybe 5th, they shouldn't be priced like this.
Yeah, no, they're priced like they're going to finish 12th or 13th.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay.
And forwards? Then forwards, there's very, very few.
Great, because fuck.
We're not even at an hour. We're totally fine.
We have other things to talk about.
I know, but we'll get there. So there's Nketiah.
What's the deal with him?
I don't know. Seems sort of
not that good.
Yeah, I think he's like sort of promising. I think he does a lot. Yeah, I think he does stuff that Arteta likes, which is run around, Jordan press, Ayu, work his ass off. Yeah, maybe. He is really young, so he has that more maybe upside, which Jordan Ayu can't say. But I don't know. I'm not starting my season with him because Laka's still there and shit and whatever.
What are they doing? Arsenal. They just keep buying. They're not selling anybody. All they're doing is buying everyone and firing their entire fucking front office.
Well, they freed up a lot of salary when they fired Jesus like 55 Christ. Guys.
It's so embarrassing, dude. It's just shameful.
Yeah. No, they loaned out a lot of guys. I don't know. Mitro at 6.
Insane to me how many people have him.
Is he really popular? I haven't looked.
He's in almost like what's his
27.8%
in everyone's team.
Wow.
He's on one of the worst teams in the league. Who creates a chance for them? Fucking Cabano or whatever?
Joe Bryan, dude.
Joe Bryan, like this the team is so bad. So bad. It's insane. I mean,
the thing, yeah, like if I didn't have previous with him, I could understand it because it's like, okay, this guy's just going to get every shot on pens. Like, he should get double-digit goals, like, whatever. But we know it's just basically the same team, same manager, same situation. They weren't, like, much better last season in the championship than they were the last time they got promoted. It's the same Mitro, as far as I can tell. So, yeah, I just don't want a part at all. It's going to be, I don't know. I think he'll probably finish around double-digit goals or whatever, but do you really want to hold that for your entire season? He's going to be so inconsistent.
Yeah, it's just, that's the thing is, okay, he's going to get his 10 to 13.
Yeah.
But when, you know, no idea.
Yeah.
And he's still going to get less points than Laporte. He's still going to get less points than, you know, Van Dijk, Doc, you know, I mean, pick your fucking anyone. You know, he's going to get less points than so many other guys in that. I don't get it. And there's no upside because the team is really dog. Isn't. There's no upside with him at all.
There really isn't. Yeah, I think he gets less points than Saka and Stu Armstrong even, who are 0.5 less and have upside on way better teams. It's like,
yeah.
I just don't understand it. And like I said, I had previous with him, like, I know how good his numbers are, you know? Like, we know this very well. We've seen him multiple times in the Prem. It doesn't translate.
The six to me is Che. I think that's the player
is super good.
Yeah, that's the player with the big upside of that, you know, hold for a while and he's overperforming.
Yeah.
His price The stats were good post restart. You know, they did pay a lot for him from Birmingham. And, you know, he started at the beginning of last year, didn't do it, was on the bench forever. And then he was good at the end of the year. I mean, he doesn't really have much competition for the spot. You know, Schlong's really old and Buffemi's just a little bit lightweight. Like, he could still use some seasoning. Yeah. They're not going to just like sunk cost on Che Adams. Like, they spent a lot of money for Southampton on someone like that.
Also, as people keep bringing up his stats post-restart, his stats at the beginning of the season were phenomenal. Yes. They were really, really good. Yeah, he just missed every big chance. Everything. But he got a ton of big chances, a ton of shots. Was clearly, like, part of their plans in doing the things that Ralph wanted. And then he got dropped for a while. Maybe he wasn't up to the fitness,
maybe he wasn't training well.
So yeah, something. And then he comes back in and hauls, and I don't think it's a coincidence. Yeah, I like Che a lot.
Yeah, he had the season with Ralph, and he knows what's happening there. And, you know, he's playing next to Ings, like, a little more far forward. At six just seems, I mean, he's been in my team for, like, a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm not sure if I'm going to have him or Saka. I'm kind of like back and forth between the two of them, and my team's like all fucking messed up. But I really like Adams a lot.
Yeah.
I think at six is just, it seems like a really nice price point for him.
Yeah.
And someone who could come in with a lot of points. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you compare him to Stu, who's 0.5 less, it's like Che has such a huge upside comparatively.
That's not close.
Like, the only reason you'd go Stu over Che is if you have your three forward slots really filled up and love them. You need a 5-5 mid, but no, I like Che a lot. I think Rodrigo is also good, but he's super one to monitor. Like, he probably won't even start the season because he's just so far behind, and he's with Spain, and they have bad fixtures, so whatever. Yeah, I think that's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, there's like Bamford, who's bad, and
well, he's now a backup for Rodrigo.
Yeah. Well, he's not right away, probably, but yeah, he will be.
He will be.
West Brom has the 5-5 guys, but they're, you know, who knows, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, like, I mean, there's
Brewster,
like Jordan Ayew's
Monitor,
fucking,
but nothing.
Jordan Ayew's fucking ridiculous that he's priced at 6. Yeah, there's not much. Yeah,
that's basically it.
Kentucky.
Yeah, Pull Up and Kurt said, does it make sense to play a 4-5 like Davis and keep him on the bench or go for 3 playing forwards?
Oh, don't we didn't really talk about see Brewster.
What?
We didn't talk about Brewster.
I mentioned Brewster. I mean, you just monitor. Just if he goes somewhere, he could be really good. Very promising
but you,
youngster.
But I mean, starting with him is also good because he could still go somewhere between Saturday and
that's
October.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's fine. If you're starting with a non-playing 4-5, I guess it might as well be him.
Yeah.
Even though it limits a Liverpool spot.
I don't think it shouldn't matter that
early. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, the question.
No, that's good. I mean, he's basically just saying he doesn't see any sub-5-5 forwards he put in a playing 11. Like, where are you at on having a 4-5 non-playing forward?
Do you think that?
Yeah, I think it's totally viable and reasonable. Yeah. I kind of like it, but
you got to live your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it for all the budget players. And then we can talk about transfers, and we can talk about questions, and we can talk about whatever. Okay.
Let's talk about Everton. I want to talk about Everton more.
So, Doucouré is confirmed. Allen is confirmed. James, according to Fabrizio, is all but confirmed.
According to the God.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the summer of Fabrizio, by the way.
Big summer.
He has solidified his dominance in the journalist market, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's...
ECL is just...
That's everything we wanted Everton to do all in one day.
ECL hasn't left my team for a while.
Yeah, same. Since our last pod.
Yeah, yeah.
We broke it down. Yeah, he's just great. And I saw they played 4-3-3. I think it was today or yesterday they played 4-3-3, which is Richarlison at wing and DCL just down the middle. 3 central midfielders. That would be probably Doucouré and Allen behind James, which is just so sick. Like James.
Or Gomez, too. I mean, James could play Gomez left, like float in. The thing is, no matter what he plays, whether it's 4-2-3-1, 4-3-1.
Yeah,
ECL is going to be in the fucking box.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a player. I mean, James, we don't know the price yet, and he could definitely be a really, really good value pick because he'll probably be underpriced relative to his actual raw skill.
I think he'll be like 8.
I don't think so.
You think he'll be under 8?
Yeah, like I think like 7.5. I think 7.5.
So between Siggy and Rich, basically, you're saying?
Yeah. Like, they're going to put him in the game and more than Rich? Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think they'll be the same as Rich is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
8.
Could be 8. But whatever it is, 7-5, 8, but he's really good. You know, he's a fucking really good player. So Carlo knows what to do with him, and he creates chances, and they're going to be chances to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, so.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, you just think, just breaking down the team for the last like 2 seasons, like who's passing the ball to the forwards? Last
shitty
2 seasons,
Dean.
It's
fucking
only
crosses.
Dean
crosses from.
Yeah,
left
there
to
were
left
a little.
Side.
There was a little bit of Sidibe, like every once in a while, Siggy, but not really. No. Like mostly just free kicks. Like there's really no one. There's really actually been no one. And now all of a sudden, there's like Allen
and
Doucouré
and
gets forward. James is fucking James. Like it's just
Doucouré keeps it moving quickly. Like he knows what the fuck to do.
Yeah, he's a really weird player. Doucouré is really weird, but I like
him.
Yeah, like I like him, but I also can't identify like what he's great at. But he's good, and he's the amount of upgrade from last 2 seasons Everton midfield to this.
Is kidding me?
Siggy and Tom Davis getting every minute compared to just Allen, James, Doucouré. It's insane. They really did
they still
the
have Gomez.
Yeah, and Gomes. I always forget about Gomes because I'm excited about the new guys. But
yeah, Everton.
It's good. DCL. Very, very excited about DCL. I have to say also a little less excited about Rich if they're playing 4-3-3 and he's like winger.
Yeah. So then he should be in the fucking, he should be a midfielder.
He should be a midfielder. Arsenal, we mentioned Gabriel already. He may come in as a starter, may not. They also secured Danny Onions again. That's good. Not really FPL relevance. We talked about cash for Villa. Castagne.
We talked about where he's from in America. Yeah.
We talked about how we don't want a 5-0 Villa guy. Yeah. Castagne is 5-5. It's kind of rough. Van de Beek. What do you make of Van de Beek?
Good depth.
Yeah, everything I can see is he's just a 40 million backup, so that's
good
fine.
Good price. I mean, he's young. He could develop.
Yep. And then Chelsea. We don't have a price on Havertz yet, but Havertz is done. It's very exciting. Titillating. Yeah, it's titillating. It's their front four is just godly. Yeah, like the upgrade in talent is unheard of from season to season.
It's really astonishing. And the other thing about it too that's so good is Ziyech is like 28 or whatever. He's like in the prime, but the other three are 23 and under.
Yeah, they're like going into their prime.
And Pulis, yeah, like they're so young. And I mean, this could be like they could have this for a fucking few years and then they're in their prime.
Yeah, I mean, if you project like 2-3 years from now, like Chilwell's still going to be the left back. Reese will probably be the right back. That attacking four will probably still be together. And like, they'll have to refresh like Conte and Kovacic, but like, okay. Yeah. And they need center backs and a keeper, but like,
Kepa's still young.
Yeah, he's still developing. He's gonna make his
Kai. So what do we do with Kai though? Because like we're watching that Brighton game, right? And our RLC was like, if that was Kai, they won that game. It's 5-0.
I had a thought today about Kai, and I think Lampard just sees himself in Kai. I think he sees a tall, young attacking mid who gets a lot of shots and gets in the box and is like, this guy can be my Lampard and score 15 plus every season with the late runs and being playing off the striker.
So you think he's going to be more of like an 8, like in the 4-3-3 in the midfield as like the extra guy? Or do you think he's going to be more like a 10, like support striker?
I think he's going to be more like a 10 support striker. And I think Conte and Kovacic are really good to have behind him. They have a lot of passing, a lot of work, a lot of defensive stuff between them. Enough that, they can do a fucking Michelele and whatever, like Thiago imitation for when Lamps is getting far forward. And like, that just hit me today of like, what could Kai be in this? Because I think anywhere else his talents are like a little bit wasted. Because you want him to basically...
Good.
Yeah, like He's incredible at everything. Actually, everything.
He has the size. Still developing.
He's still developing. He has the size. He has a big frame. He's a good finisher.
He
gets on headers. He creates chances. He gets
positionally aware. He's good.
Yeah,
run.
He's an outlet. He's so good. Gets open. Like it's just like everything. And that's why I was like, I think Lampard like sees himself like even more. Like, I feel like Lamps is even more excited about Kai than he is about, like, Werner or the other guys. Because he just thinks the world of Kai and, like, just sees everything he could do. Like, Lamps had those, like, 20 goal scoring seasons where he was just the man, you know? And, like, I feel like he sees that. I think he sees, like, a flexible, fluid front three with Kai making those late support striker runs and just, like, scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Werner's the perfect guy for it, right? Like, he can drift wide either side. He can create tons of chances. Like, he's not like a central, like, in-the-box, take-up-space striker. Like,
future Germany World Cup winner starters.
Yeah, like...
So what are we going to put him in at? Like, do you think they're going to push 9 for him?
I don't know. I
don't envy that job. I don't want to price
him. Yeah, I mean, he's either 8-5 or 9, right?
Probably.
Like, it's hard to... A5. Like, yeah. I mean, if he's 8-5 or 9, I kind of just want him no matter what.
It doesn't matter, right?
The only thing is, he's probably not going to start, like, game week 1. Like, he's not even fucking there.
Yeah, that's fine. And
they're
then they play
on international
Liverpool.
Duty, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah, and then they play Liverpool, so that's okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The thing I think broadly, though, more broadly speaking with Chelsea, is that they are going to be the second best attack in the division this year.
Yes.
And the players are priced too low.
Yes.
So
yeah.
The value...
They're
going
to be the
closest
to City, and they're priced like they're the fifth best attacking team. Yeah, like...
Not even... Like, fucking whatever. Yeah.
Like, they're much more... Like, if you compare them and Manchester United, who were, like, sort of level-ish last year, top four teams, like, compare the the amount of improvement that Chelsea have made. It's like, they should be treated like the, like, by far third-best team, by far second-best attack, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I want to get macro on this, because I was thinking about this a lot.
Okay.
With Chelsea, right? Like, Werner or whoever... going to be a good captaincy option.
Yes.
And we're seeing like a team like Chelsea and City and Liverpool, like we're seeing these top teams, like we're expecting them to be blowing teams away. And I'm feeling like the value, like the premium price players, you know, I don't think that these 12 millions are really, you know, necessary. I think having more than one, because City players, like if it's Kevin or Kuhn or Raz, like, okay. But you don't need Obbs. You know, do you need Mo? Like, I don't think so. You know, Bruno's 10-5. You know, you have a Chelsea player. Like, how many of these players do you need? Like, if you can get three Chelsea attackers, Mahrez, you know, we'll see. I mean, Foden, who knows? Maybe he's great, maybe he's not. But, you know, if you can get these guys that are between the 9 to 8 region who pull, I mean, we haven't even talked about Pulisic.
Yeah.
He's a fucking 20 goal scorer. Like, he's hurt, he's 20 goals in him if he plays 3,000. Like, he's ridiculous. The stats and eye tests are ridiculous. Like, why would you be spending the extra, like, $3 million for Obbs or Kuhn? Oh, sorry, Obbs or Mo or Mane.
Yeah.
When these guys, you know, That's something I feel like is going to shift this year a little bit.
Yeah, I think
a little bit more
I think so.
Into that like lower premium tier of just getting them, because Chelsea's the enabler, right? Because you put two or three of the Chelsea attackers between those four, all underpriced to me with what they're going to be doing.
Yes.
That's a big deal. You know, that's a big deal.
It's
a lot of money.
Yeah, it's
a lot of money, but you know, you don't need Mo and Obbs. Okay, game week one, fine, but just in general, right? Thinking about the season.
Yeah. Longer term.
You know, you put Bruno in, you know, Kevin, like whoever you fit, you could figure that out. But
I mean, it's basically what I've had, to be honest. Like, I haven't fucked with my team as much as I'd like to this week. It'll be more this upcoming week where I'm tinkering a lot, but for a long time, I've had Kev as my sort of I'm not going to touch him guy. And then I've had Obbs, who is definitely going to be touched. That's going to be a fully like rotational captain slot in my team.
Definitely touch.
I'm going to touch him a lot. And then I have like Werner, Tony. And to me, though, they're captainable.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely.
9-0, 9-5,
yeah.
Really bankable, captainable assets. So I have this one rotating position of the 12 guys where maybe some weeks I want to double up with Raz, like some weeks I want Mo, some weeks I want Obbs, and then I'm having basically three captaincy guys in my team at all times with Werner and Tony. That's that has been my thinking.
I'm still really fucked up about Tony and Bruno.
They're just both really good.
Fucks me up, man.
I know. I think 1.5 is a lot. And I'm just not sure that he's going to score 1.5 times the points. And I love Tony. That's definitely a factor. Like, I love him. Yeah. I love everything about him.
Fucks me up.
Yeah, it does. It does. But so, it's that's besides the point that you're making, which is a point that I agree with, which is that Chelsea are super underpriced and that there's legitimate captaincy options that are under double digits, which is not normal and not what we've seen for the last seasons of FPL.
Right. And that's the thing, right? Where you just said that there are under 10 million players that are very captainable. That's not normal. That's abnormal. So
very abnormal thing.
Yeah. So, you know, just the thing. It could, this could just maybe complete nonsense and we're
no, but I think it's good. I think if you're not going to like set and forget, quote unquote, Kevin, like I have, then you really could spread that money around a lot more.
Yeah. Well, so another thing with Kevin, though, that I was thinking about, Kevin, as usual. City are still going to be the best attack in the league.
And absolutely, 100%.
So, you know, with captaincy, right, we're really good at not getting captaincy right. But yes. City score goals every game, except yes. for when they play Liverpool.
Yes.
Like Kevin's, we know the games that Kevin's good at, and we know when, you know, like Raz or Kuhn are good. So, what, like, that could also just be, you know, you go with them and you just rotate based on the fixtures, like we were talking about last part, right?
Yeah.
Wolves, Leicester, Leeds, Arsenal, West Ham. Well, maybe not West Ham, but like those are all Kevin games. West Ham, like, oh, that's Raz hat trick last year. Like, you know, he loves that. But maybe that's a thing as well. And then yeah, the rest you can just look at as pure value, not even thinking about captaincy.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable. I mean, I'm the direction that I just said I was going is just slightly different, which is just blanket hold Kevin because he's Kevin.
And no, then, I'm not saying binning Kevin. I'm saying holding. I'm saying doubling. Like yeah, keeping yeah, that, the double.
That's exactly what I'm planning on. That's exactly what I'm planning
on. Okay.
That ob spot in my team is going to sometimes be Mo and sometimes Mane and sometimes Raz and sometimes Kuhn in a double change. And the Kevin spot's just going to be Kev.
Is there already. Okay, yeah.
That's
I see that.
That's my thinking, at least.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But you don't have Ziyech, so that's a problem for you.
Oh, is he hurt still? What's his deal?
I don't know. He's probably hanging.
Tiny legs.
Slender legs. So something else, I mean, besides the DCL thing.
I love that you have these little topics. Let's go.
Yeah, well, I've been fucking doing playing. You
That's
know,
great.
I play.
Yeah, you got to play the game.
I've spent the last like 2 or 3 days without Mo, and it feels better. It just feels better because you're talking about touching. Like, he's someone I would touch.
Mm-hmm.
And Rabo?
Really good player.
I've had Trent and Robbo on my team for a while now. For 3 days. Seems good.
That's a while in COVID-19 time. And it's like dog years shit. 3 days, fucking 3 months.
It's true. Robbo's fucking good.
He's very good.
And at seven is, you know, he's...
exceptional.
Yeah. So I feel like... I started here last year. I mean, this was where I started last year with Trent and Robbo. And it didn't work great. Well, it did after I got rid of them both or whatever, but it seems like Rabo at seven, like, I was having a hard time coming up with why you don't want him in your team because he's a 200-point player.
Yeah, the only reason would be if you don't want that much money in defense because you want more rotational flexibility in the attackers, like how my team is set up, it wouldn't work. I can't have Kevin in a rotational 12 spot and my forwards. Yeah.
That's,
you know.
That's why it was unlocked when I was like, I don't need 2 12-million players. Yeah. Like, it's dumb because it's all these other guys are the same.
Right. It's a thing I want, and I honestly think both strategies are perfectly good.
Yeah.
Like, Rabo's extremely good, great value, great pick. There's no doubt.
And it lets, like, because I'm pretty sure I want to captain Obbs over the Leeds game because Leeds just seem like a real team and Fulham seem like not a real team.
Yes.
And so in this case, I'm obviously not captaining fucking Mo against Chelsea. So there's just, it's what's the point?
And
so
not
I just,
Arsenal in game week 3 either.
Yeah,
like,
no. So
before
it was just,
Arteta,
what's the point?
You always captain Mo versus Arsenal. Yeah. Like, but no, yeah. So
that's where I kind of came to. And yeah. You know, of course, it'll probably bury me because everyone who knows how to play FPL has both Obbs and Mo for a reason. But I have Bruno, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I also think Mo has looked underratedly not sharp at all.
For a while.
I think Mane is, like, super under the radar because he's just so good and looks...
He looks better.
He just looks incredible. He looks like mid-season Mane, you know? He's just getting all the big chances, all the everything, every game. So, I don't know. Worth shouting.
So what do you think about... Because I was also playing with like Bruno or Kuhn. Like, do you care? Or do you have a big...
Kuhn has given me...
If I was going to hide one for game week one to go with from two onwards.
Kuhn definitely gives me headaches. Because I still think 10-5 is ridiculous for him. Yeah. We also don't really know if he's fit, right?
I mean, they haven't played a game.
He just streams on Twitch. So. Like, he just plays Fall Guys, and we have no idea what's happening. But so I don't know. I don't know. I think it's the role more than the player because if this is your captaincy spot, then I'd rather captain Bruno in Game Week 2. I'd rather captain Kuhn in Game Week 3 and 4, probably.
Well, I'm going to fuck with Obbs, so I could still go there if I didn't want to get like Raz or Kuhn or Kevin or whatever, like come Game Week 3.
Yeah. Then I don't know. Then
because Bruno is like, to me is like a Kevin. I just don't want to not.
You don't
want to
touch him. You don't want.
I don't
want to
think about it. I don't want to like be worried when I see Manchester United scoring goals in fucking Discord. Like I just want him.
Yeah.
I don't want to worry about it.
He is a hold all the way.
Yeah. I mean that.
Is there a team that could be made that's like Bruno and Kevin holds, and then still having like captaincy options in the forward line or something?
No, like that's what I've been playing
hard.
With.
That's really hard.
You can if you have Bruno, then Tony, like it's dumb. Like you captain either, it doesn't matter. But
yeah.
Like I have Werner and Obbs and Tony. I mean, I have Werner, Obbs, and Bruno on my team. But if you take Obbs and put Kevin, then you don't have money left for another premium captaincy option. So you'd be needing to captain Kevin or Bruno or Werner, basically.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean,
it is fine if the fixtures line up. Yeah, if the fixtures line up. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to answer your question of Bruno versus Kuhn. To me, they're very, very different in terms of like role in the team. Like, I don't look at Kuhn and be like, yeah, I plan on holding him for the next 20 game weeks. I'd much more look at him like, I want to target the time to get him and captain him for like 3 or 4 straight. And
then which
are
home bankers, which they don't have. But
they're both great.
But I do think he's a hold. Like when he's fit, like, I just want him.
Who, Kuhn?
Yeah.
The problem is we don't know the fitness, and they're blanking, and it's just
we don't know. Yeah, we don't know if he is fit.
We don't know shit.
Yeah, I mean, Bruno is definitely a more like stable pillar.
It's crazy that Tony had a higher fantasy goal involvement than Bruno since the restart. 60-52.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Man, they're both great, and they're both legit captaincy options. I mean, Game Week 2, home Palace. We're looking at Ward, Mitchell, and Kouyaté.
Yeah, I'll probably captain Obbs there, but...
No, I think most people will, but, like, is that right? Like, I don't know. It seems to me like Manchester United might 4-0 more likely than... Arsenal are going to 4-0 West Ham off the top of my head. So that's something I'm definitely looking at. Anything else, or you want to bang out some questions? We're long.
Yeah, do some questions. I'm now all sorts.
That's good, though. That's good. That's good. Noel said, on a previous pod, you mentioned you'd set and forget your back line to free up transfers for your big hitters in midfield and up front. Has this changed after tinkering? Common strategy seems to be Trent and 4-4-5s to free up funds for the double premium mid and Werner up top, but the 4-5 defenders don't seem reliable enough to carry for extended periods.
I disagree very strongly.
Yeah, I just think if you pick the good 4-5s, then they are
just
reliable.
Don't pick the bad ones. I think there are definitely good ones, but
there
I also
ones are good enough. Yeah,
I was on that for 2 weeks or whatever, but I put Rabo in, so I have Trent, Rabo, 4-5-4-5-4-0, Vinogs, and Taylor and Mitchell. And like, I feel like okay with Mitchell here because I'm going Trent, Rabo every week, so it's just Vin and Taylor for that other spot.
Yeah, I also think that it's like. There's this like notion where we have to not play our 4-5 defender in a bad fixture, but I don't think it's that big a deal. It's not that big a deal if you're starting a Burnley guy, a Southampton guy, like a mid-table team guy, you know, against fucking Spurs, Everton, Wolves, Leicester.
These players get 2 points usually anyway.
Yeah, like it's not a big deal. So yeah. I just don't overthink it there.
Yeah.
Nat W said, are the 6-5-5 mids massive traps, and how does one stop themselves from being caught by them?
Yeah, I mean, other than Foden, it does seem like a massive trap. You know, you go to Saka or you go to the 5-5 guys, because then it's not a trap because you're paying fucking dog for them. But, you know, the more you spend and they're like similar, you know, you're assuming the same kind of things as you are with a Saka or an Armstrong or a St. Max, then that's a trap. Like, that's the definition of the trap.
Mm.
So,
Foden, so how do you avoid still, him?
You don't pick him.
What's the deal with Foden? I'm so torn up about Foden. Like, is he going to play the eight, you think? Is that, like, what you're thinking is with Foden? Or do you think he's going to be the starting right winger?
No. They didn't buy anyone in midfield. So
yeah, they
what
just
the
bought
fuck?
The winger.
He's
yeah.
not playing shitty fuck and Rodri and Kevin every game. That's not what Pep's doing.
I mean,
Foden's playing though.
He does love to do that.
He's done it a few times against, you know, at Champions League tie or at Liverpool, but 85% of the games are not those in the league. Yeah. And, you know, I do think that that's where Foden's going to play. Okay. I don't think that they didn't buy that position for, like, because they didn't find someone.
Maybe
like,
they
think
don't
that
have
they're...
money. Okay. $700 million for Messi.
I do. And I don't think... I think it's just been like this elaborate ruse from Pep last year to like purposely not unleash him. I feel like that's something Pep would do also.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I'm not playing you in this position this year because I don't want anyone to see you do it until next year, and then you're going to do it all the time.
Yeah,
like, I think that's
didn't
a viable
play
thing.
There often was like my
he
where
played
the
there
fear
for like
is,
2 seconds.
Yeah, that's where like my fear kind of came from when I had because I've had Foden in this whole time too, and then I was like, wait, is he like? Like, in our heads, it's like, he's been groomed to replace David, and then I'm like, he hasn't even fucking played there. Like, but he did against Liverpool,
and he did
a couple other times in substitutes. Like,
this is the thing with Foden, like, for me, and I don't, you know, whatever, you play the game, you're only like,
I see
I
the
watch
smile
him
on your
play.
Face already. Okay, no, yeah. Wait, what do you see when you watch him play? Oh, get! Walsh just walked away from his computer laughing. Okay.
What's next question, please?
No, what do you see when you watch a play? I want to know the end so badly.
He's just so fucking good, dude.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's everywhere on the pitch. His motor is everything. His every pass. He's a fucking incredible player. And I just don't think that he's not going to play. I don't believe that. So... You know, we could be potting in October, and he played 400 minutes, and I'm like, okay, I'm transferring Foden out today.
Yes.
And then I'll do that, and I'll do that thing, and I'll live with that.
Probably
that's
worth
fine.
The risk, because the upside
and that's
is
fine,
so extreme.
But,
yeah.
You know, he's just a player that I'm in love with, and I think he's incredible, and I'm gonna have him in my team.
I might name this episode, I don't think that he's not going to play. It's just a beautiful constructed sentence. Seb said, with 4-5 mids, should we be looking at players who play 90 minutes every match but won't score? Should we lean towards players that play less and have more potential for returns? Basically, he's asking, should we just get like nailed two-pointers or try and find someone who's better? And we also had people asking about like is it worth it to, you know, pay 0.5, find 0.5 in your team for Soupcheck or someone who's a little better than the 4-5s? Like, what are you doing with your bench? Is it just bare bones or what?
Yeah, I'm back to bare bones, raw dogging it, I think. If there are 4 or 5 George Boyds, please let me know.
Oh, my God.
I've been combing, and I haven't seen anyone like that.
No. Yeah. They're all really bad.
They're
the
really bad. I have had Harrison Reed in for a while.
Oh, me too.
Oh, hey.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, a little ginger in the team. Never faltered. Yeah.
And I don't really care about the bench. Yeah. Anymore. I'm back to that mode.
I also think like there are a lot of nailed really good 4-5 defenders that'll
like,
probably
put
ahead of Reed every single week. And
yeah, like
good.
I'm gonna have Vinegar and Taylor and I'm not gonna play them. I'm gonna play only one of them each week. So
yeah.
Even one of them has a bad quote unquote bad fixture worse than the other, still better than fucking playing Harrison Reed, so I'll do that.
Yep.
Brewster's going to break things if he loans somewhere.
I have a feeling he's not going to go on loan.
You think they're going to? They've been playing a lot in preseason. Usually they don't do that when they loan.
Yeah,
a guy.
Like, listen, he's definitely better than like Origi. I mean, Minamino's been playing really well in preseason, but Brewster's way more of like the future for that position. Like, I don't know. We haven't really bought anyone. They're still have really bad attacking depth, Liverpool. You know, maybe.
And the other thing, too, is if Firmino gets actual injured, then you're totally fucked.
Totally
fucked. If
you
loan Brewster, you can't just be like, oh, just kidding. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. So I'm in my head, I'm like, we haven't bought anyone. It doesn't seem like we're gonna buy any attackers. So like,
keeping him. Yeah,
maybe he's good. And then Klopp's like, we need him. Just straight up.
He's good at pens.
Yeah. Oh God. He fucking shat himself so hard on that pen. Even the way, like, his body shape was just like, ew. Okay. Not that many questions. We'll get through this. Brad Vibes. Are we overlooking Mahrez? His shots and points per 90 are extremely good. Not a captain option, but I'm thinking he's a cheaper set and forget than KDB. Thinking Kuhn and Mahrez and maybe Phil as my Man City attackers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. The community is definitely overlooking Mahrez. 1,000%.
On paper, first choice should be Raz forward Mahrez, Foden, Kevin, Rodri.
Rodri, yes.
Right?
And that position on the team, no matter what the player's name is, should be 10 million.
Right, because they're going to score 170 plus. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the person's name or what the face of person is, that's a 10 million FPL asset, right? Yeah. Winger. I mean, Raz on the other side is 11.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mahrez is definitely fantastic pick.
Yeah.
The issue is, right, fitting all these guys in, because we have the Chelsea guys, we have the Man United guys.
But maybe that's not an issue with what we talked about earlier. With
maybe not. Like, maybe that's the...
Like,
you can make the team with, like, 8-5 Chelsea, Bruno, 8-5 Mahrez, 11-5 Kevin, 8-5 someone else, and go like 3-5-2 with like Werner and a cheap guy.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Yeah, Mahrez, and that's the other thing with the City players like Mahrez and Kuhn, right, is that they're cheaper than Raz and Kevin. They're both great. And Foden too. I mean, Foden's ridiculously cheap, but you can't have Kevin, Raz, Kuhn. Like, that's not, you can't build your team
viable.
That way. So going for the value picks there makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I love Mahrez. There's I've been playing more, with Mahrez a lot. I've been playing about hiding him also.
There's more guys than ever in FPL. It's insane. There's so many guys and good teams.
Guys. Yeah.
Great Uncle Bulgaria. How soupy are you willing to make your opening draft in terms of risk? I'm thinking of tried and tested plus Werner, but I'm worried I'll miss an exciting boat, especially with the early transfers being earmarked to bring in the Manx. I don't know. Yeah, I'm very unsettled on what will be my final team a week from now, but I'm sure I'll have at least one guy in there who I'm like, I think this guy could be really good, but might have to use a transfer on. But I don't know. That also goes against the strategy of like not using your transfer on the cheap guys, right?
So that's like the Che spot for me. Like I have no idea.
That is what he is. Yeah, he's a punt.
Like if Che blanks the first two games, I'm just fucking him off. Like I don't care.
Right.
He's not someone I'm gonna stick with.
I think most people probably have at least one guy in their team, whether it's Che, a 5-5 mid.
But it's also obs to me. Like I like that partnership because those are the spots I want to rip apart to get the players in. So I'm happy to have that.
Yes. Yep. Like that.
And that's why like the Foden, Ziyech, Bruno, you know, those are stable. They're staples. They're solid.
Right. David Genford on Twitter. How crucial is it to get your Man City, Man United assets in your team before they price rise? So many people bringing them in after game week one. I'm expecting price rises for KDB, Raz, Tony, Bruno really quickly. Is it a concern? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big concern. I think it really is. The less big concern is that, you know, if I'm seeing everyone with the Mo and Aub, so they're more expensive. So even if they do rise, the 11.5 guys rise, you're still going to be able to go down to them. So that's a thing to not forget. But, you know, 0.5 in the bank's not ridiculous, you know, especially with how many how many good players on these teams that, you know, you're expecting to rise.
Yeah.
You know, that's not nuts, especially like I'm seeing teams with like Ings with 0.5. Like I'm just going
to
do Martial.
You have right to do after, that like not even day one,
right after the fucking deadline. Like it doesn't matter what Ings does.
6 a.m. Saturday.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter what Ings does that day. Like he could score a fucking hat trick. You're still doing that move. Like that's not something... You're waiting to see what happens. Right. So those are the things I think definitely to think about because you don't want to get caught out. You don't want to have your plan and sit here for 2 weeks planning your team and then not being able to do what you want because of a price change, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I like this question, but I don't. It's going to be hard to answer, I think. Dying Alone, he said, last two pods now, Walsh mentioned that there's six plans, and you can't play six different plans. You need to pick one. That makes a lot of sense to me this year, more so than in the past. I understand it all comes down to your personal planning and bias, but could you guys go over what you see as the best 2 to 3 overall plans to navigate the opening 3 to 5 game weeks?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, the easiest one that I'm sure a lot of people are going to do is an early wild card. I think that's, like, the easiest one to talk about and the easiest one to plan for, because you're really just looking super short-term fixtures, knowing you're going to wild card in, like, game week 3, game week 4, and then you reset everything. You don't even need a plan for that, really.
Yeah, I mean, just dead-ending for a few game weeks and then wild-carding. Yeah, definitely.
Very easy.
But I think also it's just more broadly of talking about, like, spending transfers in defense, like captaincy plans, you know, rotating premiums, like sticking with Bruno and Kevin, or like rotating the mid-price midfield spot, or rotating your cheap striker to find the form player, right?
Yes.
That's what I mean by six plans, right? You can't do all of these things.
You can't.
And if you do them all, which I think is probably what we usually do, which is why we're bad, because we want to do all the things all the time.
We diagnose that on postmortem as that's part of our problem, is we do it
every year.
Yeah, like the last 2-3 seasons, more so than before we were potting and stuff like that, was like us trying to be responsible, I guess is the word. Like trying to be like, okay, let's just do the smart thing because everyone's doing blah, 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 while still being ourselves and being like kind of off the radar and going for like gem unknown guys. And that was a terrible mixture, because then we just end up with like some fuck that we don't like stuck in our team for the whole season, and some unreliable 6-5 that we do like who's bad. And it was just like not good. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, no, that is exactly the thing. Yeah. So it's just figuring out, like, what are you doing? Are you going to be spending transfers here or there? Or,
right.
You know, are you happy with this goalkeeper and you're not going to think about it? Or are you going to be taking hits a lot? Or are you going to be saving whenever you can?
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to be saving whenever you can, you're going to be targeting different players.
Right.
And if you're taking hits all the time, then you're targeting the fixtures and you're targeting two-week game windows, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, all of that you need to consider. And, you know, I think being good at the game, I don't know, and I don't know what that's like personally, but players that are good at the game, they know themselves and they know how they manage their team. You know?
That's what I was going to say.
And so, I don't know myself. I'm going to be looking for myself till I'm fucking in the senior citizen home.
I'm with you there. But to me, that is what it comes down to, is like, A, like what you're good at, B, what you're comfortable with, and C, like what you want to do and what you think is fun and interesting. It has to come from there, because there's tons of different ways people reach like the really high ranks. There's not one way that you have to play that's clearly the best way to play. But you basically are making...
The guy that won said he didn't watch a game till January.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fucking idiot. He'll probably do badly this year. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Yeah, like there. I remember, I think it was the Salah year. Maybe it was the year before that, but I think it was the Salah year where the winner didn't have a Liverpool player in his team the entire season. And it's just like, sure, he's an Everton fan. Why would he have a Liverpool player if he just wins FPL? Like, there's so many ways to win and so many ways to do well, which honestly is why we're still here and why the game's interesting. If there was one best way that everyone did, it would be very not interesting at all. And it's just a matter of, yeah, it's all of those things that I said before, and also adapting to maybe the season. Like, maybe Chelsea are just going to outscore City and just be the best thing ever, and we all have triple Chelsea attack, and that's it. And we have to adapt to that and figure that out. But yeah, I think those plans that you mentioned and finding the plans is really the key. Yeah. It's a good question.
I still don't have a plan.
I am trying to stick to the plan of I'm just going to use my transfers for like captaincy mostly. That's what I'm trying to execute, but I think the problem is
that I always want to create my team so that I never need to use a transfer ever.
I do the exact same thing. That's what I do. No, that's the exact same thing. We're building a literal house of cards, and thinking it's going to survive like the summer on fucking the winter, the cold London winter. And we're just like, this is perfection. I literally don't have to use the transfer all season and I'm going to win a FPL. It's the easiest game of my life. No, I do the same thing. I do the exact same thing.
I look at it
and I tinker every little fucking thing to be perfect. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Pencils down. Perfect. 10 out of 10 every time.
1 million OR.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Anyway.
Okay, so that's going to be my plan this year. Don't use any transfers.
Don't touch
it. Use 10 transfers
all
year.
No transfers. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Just edging all year your transfers. All right, two more questions. Pigs Fly said, Salah seems like the best captain game week one, Abba game week two. I keep looking at game week three and thinking Spurs are the best captaincy choice. Is it worth having one premium Spurs asset to start and keep for that week's captaincy? I was just going to say I don't necessarily agree that Spurs are the best for game week three, but I do like where you're coming from, and I do think planning your captaincy short term is a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think Chelsea, West Brom.
Yeah, I think Chelsea is
way better. Chelsea's, you know, a good attacking team. Spurs have Mourinho as the manager, so I think that's all you need to say about that. But I also don't, I really don't see Mo as, you know, the slam dunk like that. I think Fulham are an on team. Yeah, it's just they're not a team. And you know, home away,
Chelsea,
we know
even
restart.
At Brighton, like.
I know, that's possible.
They might just win 5-0.
They could do. I'm a little concerned with Vern. Like, I think Vern's like a 70-minute that game. That's the thing that I'm a little worried about with him because of how good the options are on the bench of who's playing 90.
That's true. And we saw last season, even when Tammy was red hot, he still slept at 70 every
all
time.
The time. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be able to get away with the same thing with someone like Vern, who's just, you know, OP, just incredible. And he, you know, he's going to want to play 90 in the games that matter. So
I love that their defense is still going to be so bad. Like,
I got,
they got a little better, but they're still just going to send, like, all four of those attackers don't track back, like, not going to offer anything at all. And then, like, their center back paired with Thiago is still one of the center backs from last season. They still have Kepa. They're still basically relying on Conte to be the Leicester Conte and just be like, just do everything. And I love the fact that Lampard's like, yeah, fuck it. Like, we're going to concede 60 and score 110. It's fine.
Yeah. I don't think it's a problem, honestly. I really don't think it is. I mean, this year is going to be...
I mean, I think it's a problem for IRL team. I think it's the opposite of a problem for FPL team. I think it's great.
Well, even that, like, I don't know if we're really still understanding how good the four is up front. Like, I don't know of any defense that can cope with that.
I know, but you can't just concede 60 goals. And well, it depends what their ambitions are. Are they trying to secure nailed on top four team? I think they're there because their talent is so good. Are they trying to, like, compete with Liverpool and City? Like, they're not there. Like, well, they're going to concede twice as many goals as both those teams.
They're going to also have they're going to have some games where they don't work, right? Because they have all these new players. They're all new, right?
Yeah,
And challenging for the title is a far cry, but you could also see, like, I mean, I could see them, you know, winning 12 points against Liverpool and City. Like, I could just see them just winning all of those four games. Like, they have enough skill.
I think
they have
enough unlikely
talent.
But yeah,
it's but you know, it's not like that nuts to say, like, Man United getting 12 points. Like, obviously,
it's
there's
not
no fucking chance.
Crazy that Chelsea would do that, but I still think they have, like,
they have
a glaring weakness, you know?
Yeah,
but
no, definitely.
All I'm saying is I fucking love it. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it's
so exciting.
It's going to be great.
It's so exciting.
Same thing, too, with, like, Everton getting better. Is there are so many teams that usually, like, usually hate watching Chelsea, and I very much hate watching Everton, and this year, not going to be that way at all. It's going to be...
And United,
so many,
dude.
Yeah, Man,
like,
United, they don't
Bruno.
Have Van Gaal.
Yeah, it's been great.
It's they're going to be a lot of teams, and even Arsenal with Arteta now, right? Like, they were just floundering with fucking what was his name?
Freddie Lundberg,
whatever.
Yeah.
And good evidence. Like, you know, they're all gone, and you know, there are a lot of Leeds are going to be fun. They're going to a lot
all,
of really
all
fun
of
teams to watch.
It'll be fun. It's going to be great.
The only team you need to swerve is Leicester, really.
Leicester and, like, potentially Brighton. Yeah, there are still some.
No, I love watching Brighton. Villa.
Well, yeah, Villa.
I don't want to watch Villa or Leicester.
I mean, Sheffield and Wolves are often really dull games. We'll see. Yeah, Newcastle, we'll see. But last question, Paul and Eddie. They're both just asking about COVID. They're basically saying, should we have a deeper bench because of the compressed schedule, because people might get sick, because Soupcheck might get COVID, et cetera, go to the backups more often? Should we have two playing keepers instead of a 4-5 and 4-0? Like, do you have thoughts on this? Is this affecting your decision-making at all?
It's just too much.
I basically am on the camp that it's like, if that shit starts happening, the season's fucked. Like, I don't fucking care.
I don't care.
Like, I'm not trying to play around it.
I can't deal with that. It's too much for me.
I'm with you.
Maybe my brain, my mind's too small. I don't know. Maybe that should be a thing. I just can't help you with that, guys.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's not for me.
I don't see it.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't see it.
I don't see it. It's good shit. I think that's it. We were going to try and spend a lot of time on our individual teams, but since we're doing the Thursday pod for free and not behind the paywall, I think it's more worthwhile to just do that.
Yeah. I have like 6 screenshots of teams on my fucking thing. Of different teams.
Be really careful about having different tabs of the actual FPL site open, though. Because
no,
I've done
that
many times.
I know. I'm aware.
But I'm not aware. And like I've done that a lot where I'm just like, I'll like be doing something else. And I'm like, oh yeah, like what was that tinker with like all the 5-5s or something? And then I have to like look through all my tabs and like I closed it and saved a different one. And like screenshots are key. Screenshots are key.
Yeah, that's screenshots. So I mean, you know, maybe we'll talk about some different like drafts and stuff like that as well, because that way it won't be as nebulous of just like this and that. Because I have some like heavy defense. I have this and that and different things. So
yeah.
You know, we'll do that on Thursday. That'll be good by us.
That'll be the majority of the pod on Thursday. It'll be what has changed since we bought it on Saturday and our teams and questions and shit. Yeah.
And again, you know, moving forward, obviously we're going to do the weekly pod either Sunday or Monday, depending on what the game schedule is. And then every week we're going to do our Thursday pod. That's a Patreon pod. So, you know, if you support us, you know, again, right, we don't do ads on the pod. It's just me and Alon. You know, if you want to help out and throw us a few bucks a month, that's much appreciated. And the community that we have is really good on Discord, you know.
Love it.
I mean, it's just like pretty loose. It's obviously people who listen to us. So you have a screw loose to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's everything from like, you know, game day, people talking to people talking about food and recipes to people talking about
pickling
vegetables. And
sometimes people watch preseason games from last week and comment on them like they're happening live. You know, it's like
there's a lot of action going on there. So it's just fun. You know, it's especially, you know, I mean, I've said before, right, but you know, we're all stuck at home, and you know, going on and you know, chatting with everyone every day, like I mean, it helps me get through it, you know?
At all hours too, which is huge for someone vampire blood like me.
So you know, you want to support us and help us out there, that's a good job by you and for everyone else.
Appreciate it. Let me slap asses and let's get out of here. So we got a bunch of new signups. Best time to sign up: Sean Williams, Ali Fornius, Daniel, Max Melman, Max, cheeky little Max, David Lampert, Pulp Fitzsins, Sean Whalen, Carson Fiore, K Riz, Jack B, Kevin Atala, Michael Colby, and Klaus Christensen. Get the fuck in there, slappeth thine asseth. That's about it, brother. Any last words?
See you Thursday.
Check us out! At FMLPL.com, follow us on Twitter at FMLPL, sports page.com/FMLPL, subscribe, rate, review,